Hello, you are listening to Off Radar, It's a Movie podcast. I'm James Smith, a professional film and video editor.
I'm James Etock, a freelance writer and illustrator specialising in 1980s cartoons.
And I'm Neil Brock, aka Nige, the man with two names, former film journalist and currently working in the games industry.
Each week, one of us picks a movie that all three of us either haven't seen in many years or in some cases haven't seen at all.
We each watch the chosen movie, return to the microphone and let you all know exactly what we thought of it.
I'd never really had any interest in watching it and I was proved absolutely right.
I think it's amazing. I really, really love this film.
The film's still a pile of steaming dog shit.
If you fancy joining in and suggesting a movie for us to watch, why not tweet us at OffRadarPodcast
or email us on offradarpod@gmail.com.
If you like what you hear, please subscribe, share, and by all means, leave a review.
For now, strap in, turn the volume up, and let's go
Off Radar.
Hello, and welcome back to Off Radar. I'm James Smith, and today is a bit of a different episode. So rather than a normal review, James Etock went to the cinema this weekend to watch Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and he has done a no spoiler kind of see it or skip it. You go and watch the film if you want. I haven't actually seen the film. I've listened to his review. So even if you haven't seen it and you're listening in the future and you're making your mind up, or even if you have seen it, then this review will help, hopefully. So Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which has just come out in 2024, is the fifth film in the franchise. Obviously, we had Ghostbusters Afterlife in 2021, which, by the way, we are reviewing in full in one of our longest but most fun and detailed episodes next week. So yeah, look out for that next week. But anyway, Frozen Empire came out this year. It's directed by Jill Keenan and written by Jill Keenan, who I hadn't heard of, but you might recognize some of his films. He directed Monster House, City of Ember. He did the Poltergeist remake, which I would not even dare watch in. He did one episode of the Scream TV series, A Boy Called Christmas, and then this. So yeah, quite an interesting CV. And then returning to the cast, we've got Carrie Coon is back, Paul Rudd, Finn Wolfhard, yep, the kid from Stranger Things, McKenna Grace, who is awesome as Phoebe in Afterlife at least. And then some other people you might recognise, like Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, are apparently in this film. They're certainly credited with it. And yeah, a couple of extra people. Celeste O'Connor plays Lucky. Logan Kim plays Podcast. So yeah, quite a lot of returning cast from the first one in this kind of reboot, I guess. It's worth pointing out that Jason Reitman directed and wrote Afterlife, but has stepped away. And Jason Reitman is Ivan Reitman's son, and we talk a little bit more about that in our Afterlife review next week. So James Etock is a Ghostbusters mega fan, at least with the original film, but not only that, has a great knowledge of it and all of the real Ghostbusters original comics and cartoons. But yeah, by the way, check out his YouTube channel, Serial Geek TV, because if you want a better understanding of what Etock kind of does in his other life, then check that out. But anyway, he went and saw Frozen Empire and he messaged me directly after it, and this is what he thinks.
For the first time in New York history, a room full of people froze to death in July.
It's an unimaginable evil with the power to kill by fear itself.
Like, literally scared to death?
Good morning, James Smith. So yeah, it's now been roughly about 16 hours or so since I saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire at the cinema. Since then, Sunday evening, some alcohol has flowed through my veins, allowing for an even greater clarity. I don't think that's actually scientifically possible with alcohol, but yeah, I'm feeling good about trying to leave you a review here. But yeah, so Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, it didn't start off great for me, because the first modern day action scene, I'll put it that way, we see the Spengler family. So you've got the daughter Phoebe, the son, our favourite name in the whole Ghostbusters franchise, Trevor, Gary Gruberson, Paul Rudd's character, who's acting like a, what's the best way to put it, almost like a surrogate father, because they're all living in New York now. And the mother, Callie, and now they're Ghostbusters. So they ride around in Ecto-1. But the weird thing is about this opening action scene is that it actually feels like a fan film. You can almost see the green screen, the kind of, there's like a lack of energy to it. They're driving around in Ecto-1, but it feels really quite monotonous and slow. And I was like, huh, I'm not feeling this. Remember that action scene in Afterlife where the kids, Phoebe, Trevor, and Podcast are driving around in the Ecto-1 for the first time, chasing down the Muncher Ghost. And they're like destroying the town and they're skidding into shot. And it's really exciting and kind of, you know, the proton beams are destroying the town. It's really like, wow, this is awesome. They've clearly tried to replicate that in this scene to a degree, but it just feels really, flat. It feels like a fan film, like a bunch of fans have got a bunch of money together. They've got their replica Ghostbusters costumes, their replica Ecto-1, because they actually exist, and they've created this fan film. It didn't feel like a Blockbusters movie to begin with. But anyway, so the film continues. I'm not going to, trust me, that was just, I'm not going to go through every story beat. But yeah, there's one of the intrinsic problems with this film is that they're trying to juggle too many characters. And some of them are in this film with no rhyme nor reason. So Podcast, the little kid from the first one, is in this. He pops up, I guess, about a quarter of the way into the movie. And I didn't recognize him at first because he's obviously had a growth spurt, like a massive growth spurt. And I was like, oh, that's, I turned to my mate. I was like, oh, that's Podcast. And he's obviously his voice has dropped now. And he was like, because he was so tiny in the original. Now he's like, honestly, Smith, when you watch this, and Nige, when you guys watch this, you'll be like, oh, that's the same guy. But in the space of 3 years, he's just jumped up like 3 feet or something. But he pops up in the film and there's literally no reason for him to be in the film, as in no reason for him to even, there's no, you know, every character should be in a movie for a reason. You can have like characters on the outside of a story, but also Lucky from the first one, so that's Trevor's love interest. She shows up in this and they're kind of both excuses for both characters, Podcast and Lucky, appearing in this movie. It's a case of, oh yeah, we kind of wanted to live out here. Like Lucky's is even worse. She said, oh yeah, you know, so I left my life, you know, in, I forget where it was, in Somerville or wherever it was. And I've decided to become a Ghostbuster. Like she's a paid Ghostbuster working in a, they reveal, again, not a spoiler, but there's like a facility where there's a bunch of other scientists, technically Ghostbusters, but you're not introduced to them all, who are working on more Ghostbusters equipment. And it just feels a bit like a bit of an exposition dump, like we can do this, we can do that. But there's one thing they don't give exposition to that comes up later in the movie that is just baffling. Like, honestly, you'll be scratching your head when you get there. I'll kind of hint to that as I proceed. But the thing is about this movie, it's like what they need to realize is that Phoebe, and they try to do it in this, but not nearly as much as the first. Phoebe is the best character out of everyone in the new Ghostbusters franchise. They need to focus on her in every film because through her growth, you get to see the world through her eyes, like the whole Ghostbusters thing. And in this film, they try and do that, but there's so much. This is the biggest problem this film has. Too many characters and too much going on. They're trying to do too many, they're spinning too many plates. And I said to someone online, like, just, I gave him like en route to the pub, I just left someone like a little piece of, they asked me, oh, give me a brief summary of Ghostbusters. And I just said, it's not a bad film, but it's a messy film. And I think that's the thing. I think you really have to be a fan of Ghostbusters to enjoy the movie, because I think I think as a for anyone going to see that who's got very little interest in Ghostbusters, it doesn't, you don't need to have known everything about Ghostbusters to see the movie, but your love of Ghostbusters is really the main thing that's going to carry you through it. It's just a bit of a messy film. Yeah, and oh my God, there's one character, like Patton Oswalt, who, you know, he was announced to be in this movie. He pops up in one scene. I was like, what a wasted opportunity. And again, it's his character doesn't need to be in it. They seem to be, like, one of the other kind of semi-main characters is this blonde British scientist, who I think he's like a comedian or something. And he's in this film, but all of his dialogue dumps could have just been given to one of the, they could have given all that to Lucky. Like Lucky could have, you know, she says she went out there to become a Ghostbuster. Maybe she got super knowledgeable and can help out, because all he does is just give expositional stuff. His character doesn't really serve a purpose. Yeah, it's just, it's weird. And some of the plot makes no sense. Here you go. Like my friend and I afterwards, I kind of turned to him and I said, let's do the Ghostbusters ratings, like as in where each one goes. So for me, this may shock people. If anyone's got this far, well done. But for me, you start off Ghostbusters 1984 first, top of the list, of course. Next, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Yep. Next, Ghostbusters 2. After that, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And then after that, Ghostbusters 2016, which we don't talk about. Not because I hate women, but because it's a really bad movie with a pretty amazing cast. So I still don't know how they ballsed that movie up. Yeah, we both agreed. It's like Ghostbusters 2 is no longer like... I never, you know, I often joked about how I didn't like Ghostbusters 2. And it's like, I guess I don't dislike it, but it's not one I seek out to watch. But now I would rather watch Ghostbusters 2 than this movie. And it's like, oh, because this movie has a lot going for it, but it's almost like trying to be two movies in one. But yeah, the last thing I will leave you with is one of the worst character introductions for what I will describe as a really important character. And I'll just give you his name. It sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not. Firemaster. He is introduced sporadically, like boink and boink and boink. And then he's very important at the end of the movie. Like, and it's one of those cases of, I haven't invested anything in this character because you haven't given me any reason to invest in this character. It's really weird. Remember, so Ghostbusters 1984, we care about Rick Moranis because we see how he lives. We see that he's a bit of a loser, although he's very successful, but he's not a people person. He can't impress Dana Barrett, etc. So we see all that. So when at the end of the movie or towards the end of the movie, when he becomes an important part of the plot, we're like, oh my God, like Lewis Tully, we feel a connection to him. You don't with Firemaster. It's like, he just pops up in a bunch of comedy scenes, if that. I didn't find them particularly funny. And then, yeah, he's like such an important part of the film. And it's like, what? So yeah, I wouldn't, if you're a Ghostbusters fan, go and see it because you're going to anyway. If you're not a fan of Ghostbusters fan, I say skip it, man, because yeah, it's one of those things that I do need to revisit it, but it's not like Afterlife. When I went to revisit that, I was like, I can't wait to watch this. Revisiting this, I was like, nah, not really. I can't imagine looking forward to this at any time soon. I think I'm going to watch Ghostbusters 2 before I watch this.
Do you fancy sending us a film to review or letting us know your thoughts on a film that we have discussed? All of your comments will be read out in our end of season leaderboard episode. Email us on offradarpod@gmail.com, tweet us at offradarpodcast, message us on Facebook. All links and info in the description down below.
Do it! Do it!